Good morning. This is Mullane from Mullane.com, and I am speaking today with John Tynes, who has got a book out called Delta Green Strange Authorities. It's a collection of his fiction for the Delta Green line. And for those who are not familiar with Delta Green, it is a supplement for Call of Cthulhu, which is, of course, one of the greatest role-playing games that has ever existed. And Delta Green is possibly the greatest supplement for a role-playing game that ever existed. So I'm very excited to talk with John today. So let's let John get started. So tell us about the book.
So thanks. Delta Green Strange Authorities is a compilation of all of the fiction that I've written for Delta Green over the years. And this goes all the way back to short stories that I wrote shortly after Delta Green, the original book, came out. And so we thought that it was a good time to get all those stories together under one cover, as well as my novel, Delta Green, The Rules of Engagement. And putting all these stories together in one place actually helped kind of helped me realize, and I'd forgotten this to some extent, that all those stories and the novel are actually all interrelated. We've got major characters in the very first story in that collection that are prominent in the novel at the end of the book, and other characters across the stories reappear and kind of recur, and there are kind of threads back between them. And so it's great to put them all in one place and read them straight through, because you really can see the bigger picture of what's going on with Delta Green.
Speaking of which, Delta Green obviously has been a gaming line for getting on decades now. I remember this back when back in the 1990s when the first books came out. Now, Ken Height, in the introduction to your book, talked a little about what it was like to compare the Delta Green mindset in the 1990s to events that have been going on in the last 10 years. Without going too far into the weeds of the politics of it all, how do you think that the Delta Green mindset of of government conspiracy versus indescribable horror reflects in over the last 10 years or so?
Well, Ken did a great job kind of encapsulating some of those changes, but to me it's a lot of it is just that ordinary citizens now have a much greater idea of how the secret parts of the government work. I mean, we've now read lots about all kinds of things, whether it's extraordinary renditions or the way that we use special forces troops to do what might have been once upon a time CIA kind of projects overseas. There's just been a great deal of reporting and a great deal of just straight up kind of announcements and so forth about these things. And so I think, in the 90s when people would talk about, government conspiracies and sinister stuff and so forth, they had to make it up. At that point, big government conspiracies were things like Watergate, which was just kind of by comparison, pretty much kind of an amateur hour routine. But now, everyone's got a much greater idea of what this stuff might be like and what we actually can do, what our capabilities are, what kind of resources and people are involved, what agencies and whatnot. And I think that means that, just kind of like the gamut of what we can do as writers and as gamers has really expanded, and we have much more familiarity with this stuff now.
And a related question, it's been about 80 years or so since H.P. Lovecraft, who was, of course, the person who created the mythos, which is arguably the most significant contribution to horror fiction of the 20th century. And it's been about 80 years, and Cthulhu has not slowed down. We've still reference that particular nightmare vision every decade. Every generation seems to recreate it. Why do you think that it has had such an enduring presence in the horror community?
I think there are two reasons. One is that I think to a great degree what Lovecraft was writing were kind of mysteries. He was putting together these puzzles where people were sort of beginning to uncover and learn these really deep secrets. And I think mysteries are just, kind of perpetually engaging and really intriguing. And the ones he created were not, locked room murder mysteries. He was creating mysteries about the origin of life and about the role of people in the cosmos. And I think that's really intriguing stuff. The other thing is that, and he's been called a literary Copernicus for this, he really inverted the role of humanity in the universe. If you look at the other kind of fantasists from that time period, whether it's H.G. Wells or Arthur Machen and so forth, they still had a very kind of humanist-centric view. The people are the important ones, they're the ones making the interesting decisions for good or for bad. Captain Nemo is from Burns as a person, as a villain, and so forth, even though he's fantastical in some ways. But Lovecraft told us that humanity is irrelevant, that humanity is a speck of dust in the cosmos, and that the real action is going on above us and below us and all around us in parallel dimensions, and that, you know, our brief moment on the stage is just a tiny, you know, the blink of an eye. And the real story is far less, far vaster, and far more alien than we could ever imagine. And I think that's a really powerful idea. It really kind of upends the traditional role of humans in all fiction, basically. And I think by doing that, it's evergreen, you know, like, because it has, nothing has changed about our perspective of ourselves as humans. You know, like, we still think that we are the top of the food chain, we're awesome, we're, you know, the highest products of God and man and democracy and everything else, right? And what Lovecraft tells us is that actually, you know, if you step back, it's a gigantic cosmos out there. And we are one little planet that happens to have this one form of life that's ultimately pretty transient. And you have to take a broader view. And that's really kind of a, you know, an upending notion. And I think that's a key to his power over the years.
Okay. To abruptly change from, like, you know, from cosmic horror to the internet, it's not that much of a difference. One of the things that has been very noticeable over the last few years has been the sudden growth of electronic self-publishing in the gaming community. For example, Pelgrane Press, which does a lot of Cthulhu material stuff, makes it very easy to pick up their stuff on PDF. Arc Dream, which is which are the publishers of your book, made it very easy to use to order your things online to get a PDF version. There's the Kickstarter program that Arc Dream's doing right now for the Sense of the Sight of Hand Man, which is like an adventure. How do you think that the need for electronic publishing drove this, or was it the other way around? Why the sudden explosion of PDF publishing and electronic publishing?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that the history of the gaming hobby and gaming publishing as an industry has very much been kind of a bottom up entrepreneurial grassroots sort of thing. You know, like we've seen a handful of large game companies over the years kind of come and go, from TSR to WotC to White Wolf. But even, you know, with only a couple of exceptions, even the more successful and one game companies you hear about are still pretty small operations. And the majority of them over the years have been like I was once upon a time when I founded Pagan Publishing, just some guy in his basement. And the difference between that and the kind of that when I was doing it and the kind of PDF model today is essentially that, you know, it's thousands of dollars cheaper now. You know, back then you literally had to, you know, put together, you know, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000, and get a couple thousand books printed and shipped to your house in boxes, and then, God willing, be able to sell them somehow. And the upfront costs for producing a PDF and so forth are obviously just minuscule by comparison. The other thing is that the gaming community itself embraced online from very, very early, you know, back in the days of CompuServe and dial-up bulletin boards and all that kind of stuff. And I think that it's natural that gamers have embraced these resources from the start, whether it was with early, you know, like dice rolling programs written in BASIC you could use in your computer and that kind of thing, all the way now to through, you know, MUDs and MUSHes up to people actually playing RPGs, tabletop RPGs over Skype. I think it's just a very natural thing that an overlap of interest with gamers. And this world of PDF downloads and kind of digital publishing, I think, is great. I think that the RPG hobby is best served with by not having too much professionalism in it. I think that the more people get hung up on, you know, we've got to get our books out there and ship this stuff and so on, like, I think they can get wound up in the business side of it. And frankly, like, almost none of them will ever succeed as entrepreneurs. Like, it's a tiny market. It's hard to get anywhere. And the interests people have in games are so fragmented, you know, across all kinds of different little genres and experiments and kooky little games that, you know, going into the expectation that you're going to become rich and famous someday is nuts. So I'm all in favor of anything that kind of democratizes this stuff and makes it possible for anyone to put out their little crazy little project. And it also helps to feed just the innovation that goes on. The more of the stuff that gets out there, the more people see what happens with, you know, whether it's dogs in the vineyard or with green marine stuff or whatever, and realize, like, oh, that's really cool. Well, you know, my idea goes like this, and spin off in their own direction. And what we're seeing now is just the super fast iteration where people are throwing out new games and new game concepts and new materials for games, like, all the time. And it's because there's just this awesome churn of new ideas coming to the marketplace for every single week. I think it's a hugely healthy thing for the hobby.
And I got one last question for you. The future. What's going to be happening with Delta Green in the future? I mean, the last book that came out suggested that there was going to be a major shakeup in the game world itself. Like, you know, events did take place, and it also hinted that there would be an update of the game for, like, you know, for the modern period. So, what can you tell us about what's going to be happening with Delta Green?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, Delta Green first appeared back in, I think it was 1992, in my magazine, Unspeakable Oath, and then we turned it into the full sourcebook project. It took a while to get that out the door. And since then, you know, we've been, the creators Delta Green, myself and Scott Clancy, and Dennis Stutwiller and company, we've been using the fiction as kind of our own way to advance the timeline a bit and kind of, you know, tell what's effectively kind of like our campaign. But even so, I mean, we can't keep up with the pace of events in the real world. And so I think our fictional timeline even now has only gotten up to about 10 years ago, probably like the early 2000s or thereabouts. And so there's definitely a need for us to sort of like jumpstart Delta Green forward into the near future instead of the recent past. And so what we're looking at doing, and we talked a little bit about this, is we're in the process of creating a standalone Delta Green role-playing game. And our goal with this is to create a project where we can tailor the rules and the game world and the mythology and everything else around a very specific experience, what happens when you play Delta Green. Rather than having it be this kind of adapted version of Call of Cthulhu, we think we can do some things that are very tailored for Delta Green. At the same time, take the opportunity to kind of reinvent the project to some degree in terms of its place in time and history. And I think that doing that is a great opportunity for us to kind of lay a new foundation for Delta Green going forward.
And when do you think that that's going to be coming out?
I don't think we've announced the date yet. It's definitely still pretty early in the project, but we have recruited several writers for the project that are really top-notch folks that I'm thrilled to work with. And I think that as we get things going, we'll begin to put out some dribbles of previews and so forth. But right now we've got, we actually have an outline put together. We're having a call with all the writers in the next few days, so we're going to kind of sit down and really begin to divvy up all the workload, and then we're just going to get cranking.
Look forward to it. Okay, again, we've been talking to John Tynes, who has a book out with Arc Dream Publishing called Delta Green, Strange Authorities. John, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us about the game and about the Cthulhu mythos.
Yeah, thanks, Mo. It's a pleasure.